Rygård Skole er en dansk og international skole, der har eksisteret siden 1909. Hver dag mødes mange nationaliteter, religioner og kulturer og skaber et fællesskab og en ånd, der bygger på ligeværd, ansvarlighed og respekt for andre. Og det skaber et helt særligt rum for læring, både akademisk og socialt. Velkommen til en podcast om Rygård Skole. Jeg hedder Anja D'Amico, og jeg er din vært. Stemmen, du kan høre i baggrunden, er en spændende gæst. En bemærkelsesværdig kvinde, der har et stærkt bånd til skolen. Kvinden er en ældre svensk nonne, der sidder i parloiret på Rygård Skole. Søster Anna Christina er glad for at være i netop dette lokale, der er fyldt med gode minder. Her har været mange venner, gode mennesker og vigtige gæster, for eksempel den danske kongefamilie. Og nu skal I møde vores gæst, søster Anna Christina. Hun har mange gode minder om skolen, som hun vil dele, og hun husker tydeligt dagen, hvor hun for første gang stod foran indgangen til Rygård Skole, tilbage i midten af 1960'erne.
I came here, I was studying in Copenhagen. I had begun in Vienna, interior decoration, but then the Scandinavian decoration became so popular, design, Arne Jacobson, etc. So I went to Copenhagen, and I had nowhere to stay, and said, well, there is a convent in Vennerstorpsvej. I said, a convent? But, well, I took the chance, I came here, and I saw the beautiful garden, and I said, is something not bad. And so I began to stay here. I was 20 years old, so very young.
Dengang i 1960'erne så skolen helt anderledes ud. For eksempel var skolens bibliotek dengang et kollegium med små værelser. Her boede omkring 20 unge kvindelige studerende og omkring 30 nonner af mange forskellige nationaliteter. Engelske, italienske, spanske og sjovt nok ingen skandinaviske. Altså havde unge studerende og nonner deres liv her på Rygård Skole, og de havde et helt særligt fællesskab. Søster Anna Christina husker, at hun elskede at kigge ud i haven og se nonnerne sammen med børnene.
And I felt a great family spirit with the sisters that were at break time they were playing together football and they were doing, and I was very amazed about this way of education that began with being like belonging to each other, like a family spirit.
Really.
So I came there very soon and I studied and I got more and more involved here. I got more to know the sisters. And so I left after my studies, after finish, and I worked 1 year in Rome. And in Rome, I got this idea, but perhaps that should be something for me. And so I was, of course, I had not been very Christian before. And I was fascinated by what I learned about Christianity, about Jesus. And so I thought, oh, I think that should be something for me. And that was the beginning. Yeah, it began in Rome. And then I went to Paris to see the Sisters of the Assumption. And that was a kind of beginning.
Opholdet på Rygård Skole, tiden i Rom og hos søstrene i Paris blev begyndelsen. En begyndelse på livet som nonne.
And I went to the university and we all did, all the young sisters, because we became young sisters there. We were all, we had to go to university to study our faith. And so I discovered a lot of things and I liked it very much. And then we have prepared for a first vows. That is, you say, well, I think it's really religious life. I would like to continue. I feel that is giving me joy. I always say that's the first sign that we are on the right way, that we are joyful, that we are in harmony with ourselves. And so I said, yes, I think I would like to continue. I'm still at a trying point, but I think so. And so they said, well, we will send you to Copenhagen, to Rygård. I said, Rygaard, oh, I know Rygaard very well. So I was very happy to be sent to Rygaard. So I came here. I came here and there were 25 sisters when I came. This was in 1964, I believe, 64 or 65.
I midten af 1960'erne kom søster Anna Christina altså tilbage til Rygaard skole. Men nu skal vi spole tiden endnu længere tilbage. For som du nok ved, er Rygaard skole blevet grundlagt af en nonne, Marie Eugenie Milleret. Så inden vi vender tilbage til den svenske nonnes historie og hvordan livet var på Rygaard skole, så tager vi tilbage til året 1817. Her så Marie Eugenie for første gang dagens lys den 25. august i Metz, Frankrig. Og hvem er Marie Eugenie egentlig? Marie Eugenie Milleret voksede op i det tumultagtige 19. århundredes Frankrig. Hendes barndom var præget af både lys og mørke. Hun var født ind i en velstående familie, hvor intellektuel nysgerrighed blev værdsat. Hendes far, en liberal og tilhænger af Voltaire, stod over for en indre kamp mod sin svindende tro, hvilket ofte førte til konflikter. Desværre var tragedien også en fast følgesvend i Marie Eugenies tidlige år. To af hendes søskende døde med et års mellemrum, og hans forældre blev separeret som følge af familiens økonomiske vanskeligheder i 1830. Marie Eugenie flyttede med sin mor til Paris, og hans bror Louis flyttede med faren. Og da Marie Eugenies mor på tragisk vis døde af kolera i 1832, var hun efterladt alene, adskilt fra sin bror og far. Som ung kvinde følte Marie Eugenie, trods de svære livsomstændigheder, en stærk kaldelse til at hjælpe andre og at søge Guds vilje i sit liv. Hendes passion og beslutsomhed til at forfølge dette kald blev tydeligt, da hun mod alle odds navigerede gennem tidens udfordringer og samfundets forventninger. Hendes vision var klar og ambitiøs. Hun drømte om at etablere en orden dedikeret til uddannelse, hvor de mindre privilegerede kunne få støtte og uddannelsesmuligheder. Trods modgang og tvivl lod Marie Eugenie sig ikke afskrække. Hendes lidenskab og beslutsomhed drev hende fremad, og den 30. april 1839 blev et vendepunkt, da hun sammen med fire ligesindede kvinder grundlagde Assumptionssøstrene i en ydmyg lille lejlighed på Rue Férou i Paris. I dag findes der hundredvis af assumptionsskoler i 34 lande fordelt på tre verdensdele, og Rygaard skole er en af dem. Marie Eugenies kamp var ikke kun en kamp for oprettelsen af en orden, men også en kamp for en vision om uddannelse, empowerment og kærlighed. Rygaard skole bygger på dette kristne menneskesyn, som har rødder i et universelt værdigrundlag, og som stræber efter at maksimere hver elevs potentiale. Lad os vende tilbage til nutiden, til lokalet på Rygaard skole. Her fortæller søster Anna Christina om Marie Eugenies værdier. De værdier, som Rygaard skole er grundlagt på.
You know, the first sister, or the one that began it all, Marie Eugenie, her thought was to change the world, how to help in her little bit, how to help to change and do a change in this world. Already at that time, she felt there is a need. And so she discussed with people and they said, but it should be through education. If we have the children from there and we can be able to educate them in a way that they understand. And so she began the congregation with, well, what kind of education? Well, the education, the word comes from Latin, educare, which means bring out and forth all what is in the other, in the child, in the world, and to flower, to come out and flower. And therefore, our first way of education, it's to help each child to discover the beauty she has and all her potential. And this potential, it was already there when she was a newborn child. because the potential, what God has, we believe in that, what God has put in us, it will, but we have to, through love, through helping, bring it up and out, and that it can flower for the child. That is our main thing of education. And then, of course, you have all the parts of how education it is to help and to bring and be this person that is could be loved by others and loving others. That is a part of education, that we can live in communion, that we can live in friendship, to become friends. Very important. It's an important part. Everyone thinks education is mathematics and geography. It is also that. But it's also that the person will discover all the beauty that is in herself or himself.
Og det er ikke kun fællesskab, venskaber og læring, der har indflydelse på os mennesker, ifølge søster Anna Christina. Vores omgivelser er også vigtige. Naturen og frisk luft. Denne filosofi giver stadig genklang på Rygård Skole, hvor eleverne er ude i alle pauser. Men lad os lige høre, hvad Anna Christina siger.
And so we always choose the schools where there are very green areas around, because we believe that the nature is helping a child, helping a grown up to belong to this universe where we live, this planet that is our home. And therefore we didn't talk in the beginning, we didn't talk about ecology, but it was the same feeling that the child should care for the for nature, should use nature in the way of that it is become more beautiful and more powerful. So therefore nature is an important part of our education. And then of course all the things, so with sport, with coming out, with not being afraid when it's raining, or being able to take the nature as it is coming. And listening to, also listening is very important. Watching and listening is important. And also being silent and going out into the wood and just feel the sweat of the wood.
Søster Anna Christina fremhæver også relationen mellem lærer og barn.
And then it is the relationship between the one that is giving input. Because of course we need input. We need official educators that are, but in a way that will be an adult and a child. So we cannot speak about directly friendship, but it is a relationship that is a good relationship. Not too close, but not too far either. It is not the father, not the daddy, or not the brother, if it or mother, but it is the teacher who they are feeling at ease with. Very important that they feel at ease, and this now in today and in the today's education, the teacher feel and at Rygård to be very close to the children, and the children very close to the teacher. It's very important, very important. The teachers has a very big role for small children, for children in a difficult age, 12 years, 13 years, a difficult age for a woman, for a girl, for a boy. And therefore that teachers are close, not only giving you mathematics, but also giving and confidence, believing in the child. She has a word, our founder, saying, if you cannot see anything good in a child, it is your handicap, because there is a bully. Every single child. So it's you that have a handicap somewhere.
Marie Eugenie havde også et særligt fokus på uddannelse af piger, og forud for sin tid også et fokus på, at uddannelsen ikke behøvede at dreje sig om huslige pligter og traditionelt kvindehåndværk.
And then of course She also believed and she did schools for girls in that moment. It was not only for a handworking or perhaps doing a thing. She wanted them to learn Latin. She wanted them to learn mathematics. She wanted them to learn question. And she says for a woman today, for some women, she was also trying to bring up the sense of the women's importance of women. And in fact, the word of the assumption, it's the women, that is Our Lady, Mary, the mother of Jesus, in fact, but is raised up. And we also take it in many of the countries that it is women, the woman being raised up, because in some countries it's very important here in our countries, perhaps less. But in some countries, to get the women to stand up, it's very important. So that was one of her means in the beginning of 1800 and 1900 to get that the women are important and they are not at all only for the kitchen or for a handwork. Yeah, and then, of course, to be well and up to date, the world's changing and there are new things to be up to date, of course, of course. And they're open to the world of today, of the new things, a new method of education, new tools of education. But I feel that is a bit what we are giving over, the sisters we left. That is so deeply in us, it has become nearly a part of our body, this way of treating, being with the children and with people. And so this is what we are happy if we can give over to the staff, happy to sense that they are, in that we feel a common way of thinking, a common way of dealing, a common way of being. And we might be of very different countries and nationalities and ages and importance in this world, perhaps. But we have the same way of feeling, and therefore I am happy, very happy, when the mothers and fathers, the parents say, "Oh, my child is very happy at God." So this is my greatest reward I can get. This is really, and we keep on, the sisters, we are far away, we are old, some of us, and many of us in Europe. And it is, but we keep on, we pray. Rugot has a part in my, is a part of my heart. And if you dig down in the garden, you are going to find a part of my heart too. It's just there.
Søster Anna Christinas hjerte er til stede her på skolen, ligesom alle de andre nonners hjerter er. Men hvordan kom søsterne egentlig til Rygård skole? Jeg sidder her med et gammelt håndskrevet brev, en kuvert med en fransk beskrivelse af søstrenes ankomst til Danmark ligger også denne oprindelige håndskrevne danske tekst. I brevet står der blandt andet: "Den apostoliske vikarbiskop Johannes von Eyck ønskede at få et klostersamfund her til Danmark med tilbedelse af det hellige sakramente. Derfor bad han assumptionssøstrene komme. Og en kold efterårsdag i 1908 kom de første søstre hertil med den franske Mère Marthe som priorinde. Begyndelsen var meget beskeden, men efterhånden kunne de oprette en skole med pension for unge piger fra det højere bourgeoisie i de tre villaer på Amalievej og Kastanjevej på Frederiksberg i København. Haverne blev slået sammen. Et lille kapel blev indviet i det ene hus havestue. Ingen af søstrene kunne dansk, men Mère Immaculata lærte hurtigt at gøre sig forståelig. Undervisningen foregik på fransk, tysk og engelsk, og til de danske elever kom et par katolske lægelærerinder et par gange om ugen. Skolen viste sig hurtigt levedygtig. I 1921 flyttede søstrene til Ordrup til det gamle Sankt Andreas Kollegie. Det var en overgang fra de små primitive klasseværelser og sovesal til denne velindrettede skolebygning med et smukt kapel, rigtige klasser, mægtige sovesal inddelt i små celler, en enorm gymnastiksal med et pragtfuldt teater og en stor have med legeplads og tennisbane. I 1929 blev Mère Marie afløst af Mère Véronique, som dog allerede i 1930 igen blev afløst af Mère Madeleine Eugénie, som uden vanskeligheder indledte sig i danske forhold og hurtigt lærte det danske sprog. Allerede før hendes ankomst var der blevet set efter en ejendom, som var bedre egnet, og da Rygaard var til salg, blev den købt. I 1935 blev grundstenen lagt til Sankt Therese-kirken, og den første udvidelse af Rygaards gamle, minderige bygninger begyndte. Nu spoler vi i tiden igen. Søster Anna Christina tager os tilbage til 1960'erne. Den svenske nonne er netop ankommet til Rygaards skole. Hun fortæller, hvordan der var på skolen dengang.
And so that we were in community. It means we were together for many things. Of course, we were eating together. We were helping together. We were washing up together. We were doing things. But we were also playing. Well, we didn't watch TV at that moment. That's later. We did not even have a TV, I think, at that moment. But we were together and we were walking in the garden. And we had a joyful time together, discussing things. That's second point, family life and community life. And then, of course, our work. And our work was with the kids or with the children. But, you know, we didn't think of it as a work. We believed it was our family and we were together with them. And I remember I had to, the evening I was with a young children, the big children, when they had what they called recreation. So I was sitting there, they had small rooms where there were two or three together. And we had nice time and some of them were playing cards. I took it, I played card with them. Some of them were listening to music where they had some things. And dancing, and so suddenly we were saying, let's put up a play. Why don't we do, and we give us a surprise for the sisters for the feast of the superior, and then we did something, and then we were sewing clothes, and we were doing, we had a lot of fun, the young sisters with the young girls that were here, that was, of course, younger than we there were, but they were up till 18 years here, the girls, and there were several more in the age of 14 to 18 than the small ones, because it was boarding school. So that made it this, what we call Assumption spirit, what is really a family spirit.
Rygaard skole har altid været et internationalt sted med mange sprog.
They didn't only learn English, it was in fact a French school, so they learned French. But they learned whatever the sisters came from. They learned Italian with an Italian sisters, and they learned German with a German sister. And so it was an international school. At that moment, we had our own curriculum, school curriculum.
Senere fik Rygaard skole fokus på det danske sprog og på at blive en del af det danske samfund. Skolen flyttede til Galjebakken, der kom skandinaviske søstre til, og fællesskabet var et centralt nøgleord. Søstrene var fælles om alt. Der var for eksempel kun ét TV og én vaskemaskine.
Some of the sisters were teachers. I was more. I taught religion. That's true. I taught religion. So that was an important thing. And after that, we came into the Danish society in a different way. And at that, you know, experience out there, because we said we come as a convent. So outside our house, that was exactly as all the other houses, we put the little cloister, the little cloister. And it was very modern with windows, so you could look in. And I myself and one other sister, she was also interior decorator, so it was very nicely done. And so people knocked on the door and said, but tell us, what are you doing there in the morning? Half an hour, three quarters of an hour in front of the wall there. And I said, come in, we'll tell you. We are not in front of a wall. We are in front of eternity. We are praying. We believe in something. And they didn't really understand what we were saying. I said, pray, praying our food. I said, well, it's not like that. We were just, you know, inside. We were perhaps closing our eyes. So we were, and we are in contact with the dimension, which is the dimension that is where God is. So we could talk about that, and we were not afraid of talking about that. And they didn't see, oh, in remission, and all this. No, we talked about it, and we were normal people, and they liked us.
Søster Anna Christina tænker tilbage og mindes et par markante ændringer i skolens historie. Særligt én ændring vakte begejstring hos pigerne.
And boys coming. In the beginning, you know, there were 3 or 4 boys in a class of 25. So the girls were very excited about it. But that was a big change. Then it had always been a sister being the headmaster. And then it became lepers, different headmasters we had for the whole school. And then something important, and that was also before I went out to this other convent, it was that we became an official school with official Adgangs exam with the official exams for the Danish part. And also we were dividing into a Danish section and an international section that in the beginning was French-speaking. The whole was French-speaking. So we went over to English-speaking and English and then with a British school, because English became, you know, with as the year gone, English became the most important language. Before it was French, and French was the diplomatic language in the world. We had some English British sisters too. It was no difficulties to change from the French to the English. So it became what we have today, an English department and a Danish department.
Ligesom resten af samfundet har skolen både præg af den tid, som den har været en del af. Søster Anna Christina tager os med tilbage til krigstiden. Her fortæller hun, at skolens kristne menneskesyn fik en særlig betydning for jødiske børn.
The sisters were very, very upset about the situation about the Jewish people. What they heard, they didn't hear everything. But what they heard, they had during the war, an English priest living here, that he had a radio. So the sisters did have more connections and knowledge than many people. And so they began to see, we had the Germans were invaded Copenhagen. And so we had the sisters up where the big bell was. The bell that was bringing the sisters to chapel every day in the morning, at midday, in the afternoon. People were a bit fed up with all this ringing of the bell, but it rang every day. During the war, it was different. It was always a sister sitting up there and seeing if Germans came from the Berchtesgaden, they were ringing in a way. Because from Berchtesgaden, you couldn't get into the other side. There was no connections. Or if they came from the garden, it was another kind of thing. Because we had quite a lot of Jewish people here. We had children, I'll talk about the children afterwards, that had no parents, but we also had Jewish grown-up in the basement. But of course, when there were nobody in the house, they were able to come up, because they couldn't live there. And they were up, and now what we are, you know, the little, on the way to the church, well, all these rooms there. And so if the German came, they couldn't hide. We had often Gestapo coming into the house.
Søster Anna Christina fortæller også, at Gestapo kunne finde på at komme ind i huset og vække nonnerne. Hun fortæller om en gang, hvor Gestapo hentede en af nonnerne på Rygård skole, Mère Madeleine.
So they took Mère Madeleine twice. She was brought to the Gestapo in the center of the city. Was a Dutch. She knew many, many languages. She was a very clever woman. But she was playing, as if she was not understanding.
Søster Anna Christina fortæller om, hvordan modstandsbevægelsen til tider opholder sig på Rygård skole for at hjælpe jøderne i samarbejde med nonnerne. Mère Madeleine er en modig kvinde, som nægter at afsløre denne hemmelighed til Gestapo.
They asked her a lot of questions, precisely of course what happened here, people coming here and staying overnight here, etc. I don't know what language she spoke, but a language, you know, and that's it. And oh, I cannot. She was really making them believing she was well. No. So at the end, they said, oh, send her out. She's impossible. We can't get anything out of her. And she came back and she said, I have no money. Can you give me 10 euros for the spoorbone? So she got 10 euros for the spoorbone. And the Germans were all annoyed with her after an hour or so.
Tyskerne gav Mère Madeleine 10 øre til sporvognen og sendte hende væk. Søster Anna Christina fortsætter fortællingen om søstrenes engagement under krigen. Her fortæller hun, hvordan nonnerne i samarbejde med modstandsbevægelsen hjælper jødiske børn.
We took in with connection with through the people at modstandsbevægelsen and through other people, Jewish children that stayed with a classroom, but it was classroom of 5 children or 8 children. I mean, it was the war. But they were one of them. Even the Danish or international and children did not know that they were different. I'm different, that they were Jewish. And so they stayed for some time to get used, but they knew when they were told that they were going over to Sweden, they would be brought to Sweden.
Søster Anna Christina mindes en helt særlig episode her på Rygård skole, lang tid efter krigen er sluttet.
A lady that came up here, of course now it's long time ago, it's perhaps 20 years or 50, yes, it's 20 years ago, 15 years ago, she came up the staircase and she said, I was there, I was superior here, I suppose. And she came up and she said, I was one of them. I understood. And I said, come in here. And we sat down and she cried. And she said, yes, I was one of them. And the night I was brought, I was lying with a friend of me, another girl, in the bed. Until midnight, we were just lying together, these two children. And so at about midnight, Sister Madeleine, she came with some blankets, and she took her. And you know, we have an entrance in the Kirkegård. And you know, in the Kirkegård, what is very practical, you can see the old graves, they have a hedge of naturally. And so she was put there, she knew. But she knew that she was going to be fetched, that everything was for sure, she should but just be silent. And so in the morning, 4 o'clock, I don't know, came the fisherman to fetch her, to carry her and to down to Hellerup Hall, where the fishing boat was, and was brought over to Gamskunga or Malmö, or I don't know this one, but the nearest place, because there in Sweden we knew about the Jewish children. This woman had been one of them, and she says that there were many. I always tell the children this is a very sacred place, not so much because of the church and all this, but because we have helped Jewish people, we have helped people that was in danger. Therefore, I always tell children, you know, that this is the greatest thing you can do.
Krigstiden er et af de eksempler, der viser, at Rygård skoles værdier også kommer til udtryk i handling. Det var historien om Rygård skole og søstrene, som har gjort skolen til, hvad den er i dag. Selvom det hele startede for mange år siden med en bemærkelsesværdig kvinde, der havde en vision og et sæt gode værdier, så former visionen og værdierne stadig vores skole i dag. Og det er gennem handlinger og traditioner som disse, at Rygård skole styrker sit fællesskab og dyrker værdier som ligeværd, ansvarlighed og respekt for andre. Og mens tiden går, vil skolen fortsætte med at forme og inspirere de unge sind, der træder gennem den større og forbereder dem til at møde fremtidens udfordringer med integritet, medfølelse og et åbent sind. Tak fordi I lyttede med.